Welcome to the Chosen People radio program, a production of Chosen People Ministries. On this program, you'll hear inspiring stories, learn about messianic apologetics, and discover God's plan for Israel and you. Now let's welcome our hosts, Mitch Glazer, president of Chosen People Ministries, and Robert Walter, our New York regional director.
Shalom, dear friends. This is Mitch Glazer, president of Chosen People Ministries. I'm so glad that you've carved out time to spend with us today. And with me is Bobby Walter, and Bobby is the director of our work in Brooklyn, New York, and actually oversees all of our ministries in the great city of New York City with about 2 million Jewish people. So Bobby has a big job. Please make sure that you pray for Bobby Walter, because he is the man in New York City for Chosen People who is leading a very, very active and growing work for the Lord among the Jewish people. So welcome, Bobby.
Yes, shalom, Mitch, and shalom to all of our listeners. And I would also add, please pray for Mitch Glazer, because he has an even bigger amount of responsibility on his plate. And Mitch, I was just grateful that I get to serve with you and under your leadership. I've learned so much, and it's just been such a blessing.
The feeling is mutual, Bobby. So, well, dear friends, I'm glad that you're going to pray for Bobby and I, because we really need it. We're on the edge of the spear, you know, in New York City. And it's not the easiest place in the world to be a believer or to serve. It's exciting. It's dynamic. There's so many Jewish people to talk to about Jesus. So it's a pretty exciting adventure, let me tell you. We actually have some short-term ministries in New York City every summer. So go to www.chosenpeople.com and look for Shalom New York. And that is a week-long short-term mission for people of all ages, at least above the age of 18. But, you know, we've had 90-year-olds, you know, so come. You may not be able to be in the heat all that time, but you can stay in an air-conditioned room some of the time and pray. So there's always something for someone to do. But I hope that you might consider coming and joining Bobby and I in reaching the Jewish people of New York City. And when you are reaching the Jewish people of New York City, you're going to run into some objections. Jewish people are trained, really, without taking a class. We are just brought up knowing that Jews don't believe in Jesus. And we actually have a whole list of objections that sometimes we never thought about until somebody started talking to us about Jesus, you know. Then the objections come almost out of nowhere, and we seem to know a lot. But one of the objections is pretty subtle. We've talked about the incarnation. Jewish people believe that could be idolatry. The Trinity, we also, some Jewish people believe that can be idolatry. You can't be Jewish and believe in Jesus. That's a very common but powerful objection. And we overcome these objections with scripture, good reasoning. But it's really important how we debate, argue, reason with Jewish people. We need to be gentle and sensitive and loving and do it all with a smile on your face. Never lose your cool. And always try and understand that Jewish people are raised this way. And they're not just trying to deconstruct your faith. It's something that it's just the way we were raised, and we don't mean anything by it. In fact, sometimes when we raise the objections, Jewish people, it's because we're actually interested in Jesus, and we'd actually like someone to answer in a way that would persuade us. I know that when I was a seeker, that I stumbled on Isaiah 53, and it seemed to me that it was talking about Jesus. And so I went to some rabbis at that time in San Francisco, and I basically asked them to talk me out of it. And they were just a little upset that I thought it might be Jesus. And I was kind of innocent spiritually in that way, and I didn't know much. But their antagonism really towards me caused me to search more.
Wow.
And so don't get dissuaded by these things. Jewish people sometimes want to debate it, because Jewish people realize the cost of believing in Jesus, because sometimes it puts us on the outs with the people we love in our community and our family. And so we take this decision to come to Christ very, very seriously. And that's why a lot of people say, wow, I've never met a lukewarm Jewish believer. Well, of course not. You know, why would we believe if we didn't really believe? And, you know, so it's really important to share the gospel with Jewish people and to bear with your Jewish friends and family and neighbors as they work their way through these objections. Now, one that's nuanced that takes a little while to come to the surface, and it's usually when you're trying to explain a whole idea of Jesus dying for your sins or Jesus being your atonement, that through Jesus you find not only forgiveness of sin, but a new and abundant life. And we can talk to Jewish people about the joy of having the Spirit of God live in our hearts and transforming us. Well, Jewish people sometimes have a problem with that whole idea. And that's because, in general, traditional Judaism does not teach the sinfulness of mankind. So there's no original sin, no original guilt. Jewish people are born with an evil and a good inclination, and walking with God has to do with obeying the Torah, the five books of Moses. And when you fail, you can repent and turn and begin trying to obey the Torah and do what God told you to do. And so we do not really believe in a sinful nature as Jews. I do as a Jewish believer in Jesus because it's biblical. And Paul did because he wrote in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So obviously there's none righteous, no, not one. Paul understood it. But most Jewish people do not understand that mankind is born tainted by sin that goes all the way back to the first sin in the Bible, Genesis. Jewish people will read the book of Genesis, particularly those who are more active Bible readers, but they don't interpret it the same way. And so Jewish people do not believe in the sinfulness of mankind. Therefore, why be born again? It almost reminds you of the Nicodemus story. You know, what was wrong with the first time? And so Jewish people have some doubts about that. So, Bobby, when you encounter a Jewish person who says, well, I need forgiveness of my particular sins, but that happens on the Day of Atonement, on Yom Kippur, and even in sometimes a very secular Jewish people will repent of their sins and observe Yom Kippur and fast and so on. But a Jewish person might just say, Bobby, well, listen, Jewish people and Gentiles also, we're not born as sinners. That's a pretty negative view.
Yeah.
Well, we can choose. And so how do you reason with that one, Bobby? How do you explain it?
Yeah, honestly, with great love and great patience, because that when you really think about it, it's like it's such a foundational belief that will impact so much more of the way that you view the world, right? It's a worldview shaping thought and belief to have, to think that that human beings, Jewish or Gentile, are not born with this sinful nature. So again, just approaching it with great love, with great grace and patience, and trying to ask probing questions to get to the heart of the matter. Like Mitch, one thing that you mentioned is this idea that's in the Jewish worldview that there's an evil inclination and a good inclination. That, you know, it's kind of like the old cartoons where, you know, the person has like an angel that appears on one shoulder
on
and a devil
shoulder
that appears on the other. And, you know, which voice right. are you going to listen to at which moment? So that's kind of how that worldview is, that we have this choice, this decision to make to do good, or we can choose to do evil. But the problem with that I like to point out, you know, is when we look in the Bible, when we look in the text itself, in God's Word, we see the evil inclination. Like, it's pretty apparent. It's there. But what we don't see, we never see mankind's nature referred to as good, especially after Genesis 3. One example, Genesis 6, that I'll read for someone or bring someone to. Genesis 6, verse 5. This is how God views man when he looks at our hearts, right? And again, like, big picture here. says this, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent," okay, so intent, like our nature, our what our heart intentions are, "that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." So it's like such a strongly worded statement there. Like there's no wiggle room. There's no way out of this fact that we are tainted by our sin nature. And it's something that we, you know, we're born with, and that every intent of the thoughts of our hearts is only evil continually, nonstop. That's all it is, always. So it's really strong language. And it doesn't leave much room, again, for this idea that there could be a good inclination in human nature. So from there, again, we kind of move the conversation forward to get to a place where we recognize our need for atonement.
Yeah. I know when I was going through it, Bobby, when I was first considering the Lord, I did not think of myself intrinsically as a sinner, you know, because I was raised, again, to think about being forgiven of individual sins on Yom Kippur, and the sins I didn't know, that's the whole point of the Yom Kippur sacrifice, being forgiven for the sins that you didn't even recognize. And yet I knew that I was frustrated because I couldn't do the right things that I knew I wanted to do. And I was frustrated by that. And I felt powerless sometimes. And for example, I actually hated doing drugs, Bobby. I know that sounds weird, but I did. And I wanted to stop. And I found it hard to stop, smoking pot and things like that. Mm-hmm. And yet when I got saved, you know, that next morning I woke up and never touched a drug again. And it was no discipline. It was just gone.
Yeah.
And I began to realize that maybe there was something wrong with my heart. You know, in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, we read a very well-known passage, and it's so true. The heart is more deceitful than all else. What the prophet means by that is don't trust your heart sometimes because it might lie to you. And it might call good bad and bad good. So the heart is more deceitful than all else. Your heart needs to be compared. What you think is right and wrong, your values need to be evaluated in light of Scripture. So the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart, verse 10 of chapter 17. I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his way, according to the results of his deeds. And so we understand that there's an accountability for the times when our heart leads to evil deeds. And there's an accountability. There's a cost to doing evil. It hurts you, and it also hurts those around you. So even though Jewish people sort of, if they know something about theological truths, do not believe in the sinfulness of man. That's also popularized. So, you know, and some of us know that, oh, that's what Christians believe, you know. And so we don't believe that. But in our heart of hearts, I think we understand that we oftentimes fail to do what God wants us to do, and we fail to do what we ourselves want to do. And I remember when I read Romans chapter 6 and 7, when I saw the frustration of Paul in his inability to live a righteous life, and I said, yeah, that's like me. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes it's good to share some of these truths from the New Testament with a Jewish person. You don't have to just stick to the Old Testament. And then another objection that I think is really, really critical is this. Jewish people do not believe in a need for sacrifice or a mediator today. Oftentimes, I'm asked by Christians, what do Jewish people do for forgiveness of sin because the temple's destroyed and there's no sacrifices? And I'm always glad for that question because sometimes I'm afraid that some Christians think that we're sacrificing bulls in our backyards, you know? But no, the only place where a sacrifice can take place rightfully is in the temple, and the temple's been destroyed, and so that cannot be. So the rabbis sort of created a different way around it. They said there are three sacrifices: the sacrifice of our lips, or what we say; the sacrifice of our hearts, which is our repentance and our guilt and shame when we sin, but it's remediated by repentance. And then third is the sacrifice of our hands, our deeds. So we say the right thing, we feel the right thing, and we do the right thing, and that should atone for our sins. So there's no belief really in a sacrifice for today, because Judaism has been without a temple for a long time, and the rabbis have constructed a religious faith, Judaism, without a temple. And if you don't have a temple, then you don't have a priest. You don't have a mediator. And so when we talk about needing a mediator, in other words, there needs to be a mediator between man and God. And that mediator is Christ Jesus, as Paul writes to Timothy. However, Jewish people say, well, we don't need a sacrifice. We don't need a mediator. And some people will say, you know, Mitch, it's nice that you believe in Jesus, but I've got a direct line. And, you know, and what I can honestly say sometimes is, and how's that direct line working for you? You know, Do you feel like you're getting through, or are you finding a busy signal, you know? And a lot of Jewish people will be very, very honest and say, well, even though I know we don't need a sacrifice today because there's no temple, obviously, and I don't need a mediator because I can go directly to the God of Israel, but it's not really making a difference in my life. So, Bobby, quickly, in like 15 seconds, tell me, did finding a mediator make a difference in your life?
It made all the difference in my life.
That was fast.
Yes, less than 15 seconds.
But, you know, brother and sister, as you're listening to us, you know it's true that that moment when you accept Jesus and embrace him as your mediator, embrace his sacrifice, that's the transforming moment. That changes not only your present, but it changes your eternity. And that's my prayer for my Jewish family and Jewish people all over the globe, that they would find forgiveness of sin, power over sin, and that their lives would be transformed forever. Shalom. God bless you. Thanks so much for listening today.
Chosen People Ministries exist to pray for, evangelize, disciple, and serve Jewish people all across the world. And we also want to help equip fellow believers to do the same. Our mission was founded in 1894 by Rabbi Leopold Cohn, and we have a zeal to share the knowledge of Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, with God's chosen people. If you'd like to help us do the same, we invite you to go online and learn more. You'll find us at chosenpeople.com/radio.
Here at Chosen People Ministries, we hear from a lot of Jewish people who have found the Messiah. And right now, we'd like to share one of those stories with you.
This young man who I'd known for about 3 years, he leans over to me and he starts whispering to me. He says, I just want you to know something. Jesus Christ was buried and rose again on the third day. If you don't believe this, you're going to go to hell. I'm Jewish. We don't believe in Jesus. It was kind of like holding up kryptonite, and he stopped talking. I kind of make a joke, as long as I kept my room clean and had good grades, then I was sort of left alone. Like, nobody was really asking me, you know, what I was doing. And so I would work hard, get good grades, keep my room clean, and then I would just join friends, go out partying, get drunk. But I just didn't like who I was becoming when I was drinking. And it didn't fill the need, the void that was in my heart. And I tried. I put the leather straps, the phylacteries on, or I'd wash my hands, and then I would forget, and I'd feel guilty. So I realized, you know, you're just not good enough. You're not disciplined enough. And then as I was doing it, or I'd fast on Yom Kippur, and the rabbi would say, your name is written in the book of life. I just remember feeling like, well, first, it wasn't bringing me peace. And second, how does he know? Where does it say your name is written in the book of life? If there is a God, he's going to sort of want more than just a fast one day a year or wrapping leather straps. He's going to want more than that. After I graduated college, I got a good job, car rental agency, making good money, living with friends, nice social life, but I was empty inside. Woman gets into a car accident when it's raining. Her car is totaled, but she walks away without a scratch. The next morning, she goes to a rental car company, but they didn't have any cars. And so they brought her to the agency that I was working at. We started talking. Next thing I know, she starts telling me about Jesus. It was almost like I pulled out the kryptonite. I said, look, I'm Jewish. We don't believe in Jesus. Don't waste your time. And she said, so am I. Almost felt like the kryptonite dropped from my hand. And I was amazed. I mean, first, I learned Jesus was Jewish. I always thought he was Catholic. And here I'm reading that he's actually Jewish, and his followers were Jewish. And everybody who wrote the New Testament was Jewish. And he walked in Israel, and he celebrated the holidays just like me, and he had a Jewish mother just like me. And so as I was reading it, I was just amazed that this is a Jewish book. So now that I have Yeshua, I have peace in my heart, I have meaning and purpose. I fell in love with the young woman who gave me the New Testament. She's now my wife. We're married, and we have five beautiful boys. Three of them are bar mitzvahed. Two of them are on the way to being bar mitzvahed. Went back to school and have a master's degree and started my own business. But most important, I now have peace in my heart through Yeshua, the Jewish Messiah.
You're listening to The Chosen People, which is produced and sponsored by Chosen People Ministries. In 1894, Rabbi Leopold Cohen began ministering to the Jewish people in Brooklyn, New York. And since those humbling beginnings, this nonprofit ministry has made it our mission to combine God's love with practical on-ground support. And if you'd like to learn more about this ministry or this weekly program, just go online at chosenpeople.com/radio.
And friend, when you reach out, we'll send you a messianic calendar free of charge. This calendar is a great way to stay up to date on all the biblical feast days, the weekly Torah portion readings, readings from the five books of Moses, and what we're doing around the world. So request your free copy this year of our messianic Jewish calendar. We'll send it to you right away when you call 888-2-YESHUA. That's Y-E-S-H-U-A. That's the Hebrew name for Jesus. And once again, the number to call is 888-293-7482.
You can also request the Messianic calendar by going online to chosenpeople.com/radio. Or you can ask for it when you write to us today at Chosen People Ministries, 241 East 51st Street in New York, New York, 10022. That's 241 East 51st Street, New York, New York, 10022. We look forward to hearing from you soon. And now let's close our program with the Aaronic benediction.
Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and be gracious to you. May the face of the Lord shine upon you and give you peace. B'shem Shel Yeshua HaMashiach, Sar Shalom, in the name of Jesus the Messiah, the Prince of Peace.